Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ on this, the second Sunday of Easter. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I'm missing everybody, but fortunately this week I'm accompanied by a small group, and I want to thank Ruth and Hannah Schulze and my lovely wife Leslie for gathering today on Saturday, but we're going to pretend it's Sunday, and we're going to go through the entire liturgy and try to do it as smoothly as we possibly can. But we may be rearranging just a little bit so that the microphone picks up voices. But we will go through the entire service. As I said already, I miss you greatly. This is a poor substitute for gathering together, and I look forward to doing the gathering as soon as possible. But I want you to know that we are open for business. Phone and make arrangements for receiving Holy Communion and doing a service, and I'll be as available as I possibly can, and we will take groups of up to six together and administer the sacraments. And by the way, only an atheist mindset would think that the business we are about as a church is non-essential business. So we'll do the best that we can. I would normally say to folks at this time, please take your green hymn books and turn to page 77, and please stand as we use the centering song as printed in the bulletin. And as we get ready for that, we're going to assemble a little closer to Leslie. Slide back into place, and we will be continuing on page 77, with the brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please take a moment in your homes for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll be turning to hymn number 143. And as you're locating that hymn, our group will slide a little closer to the good singing and the music. We'll continue standing in place here. We continue on page 78. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation. Blessing and honor and glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God, for the Lamb who was slain has begun His reign. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And everyone said, Amen. Please be seated, and we'll continue with the reading of the lessons, and I will get into place here as Hannah comes forward to do the reading.
The first lesson is from the fifth chapter of Acts. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I know the psalm is 148. We're going to assemble again close to the piano. And as we make our way over there,
we'll sing it all together.
You want to announce the psalm?
The psalm for today is found on page 288. It is psalm 148. It's in its entirety. We'll all sing all the verses.
Thank you.
Alleluia, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all you angels of His, praise Him, all His host. Praise Him, sun and moon, praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, heaven of heavens, you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He made them stand fast forever and ever. He gave them a law which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous wind doing His will. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world, young men and maidens, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name only is exalted. His splendor is over earth and heaven. He has raised up strength for His people, and praise for all His loyal servants, the children of Israel, a people who are near Him. Alleluia.
The second lesson is from the first chapter of 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him, and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Will the congregation please stand?
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. And you're welcome, Leslie, if you want to assume a seat in the center. Can't tell you what a joy it is this week to not just imagine people seated in the congregation, but to actually have a few representatives. My imagination's only so strong, and it's good to see living faces. And now I'll be able to tell more definitively as you nod off that maybe I've gone too long. I have something to wait to gauge the sermon with. We heard these words in our gospel reading. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And everyone said, Amen. Skeptics insist that Jesus did not actually rise from the dead, but that such belief belongs to a pre-Enlightenment age. We know, so the claim goes, that once rigor mortis sets in, the body isn't coming back to life. The implication being that the ancients had no such knowledge. But on the face of it, that claim is patently false. Jesus' disciples were not looking for his resurrection, nor did they believe the first reports of it. This morning, I'm taking a look at a lesson that describes Jesus' first appearance to the gathered disciples. It would be the 12, except for the fact that Judas has hung himself. And as we will discover, one of the others that belonged to this close, intimate group didn't happen to be there on this occasion. And of course, I speak of Thomas. This is still the first Easter day. It's evening, and Jesus appears not just to one or a few, but now he appears to his disciples. And there's three things that I want to take from this lesson. Oh, there's so much, and there's so much that I'm tempted by in taking a look at this lesson. But I'm going to restrict myself to three things this morning. I want to take a look at, through this reading, what we can learn about Jesus' resurrected body. And then after we've looked at that briefly, I want to take a look at the continuance of Jesus' mission that he had started through his Judean and ended up in Jerusalem ministry, and now was going to continue through his followers. And then third and finally, I want to take a look at how it is that we come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and in believing have life in his name. So let's dig in. What do we learn about Jesus' resurrected body? Well, he's not bound by space, as it appears. He's not bound by sealed tombs, by doors that have been locked and bolted. And travel seems to be no particular difficulty for Jesus in his resurrected body. We read in our gospel lesson that on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." That Jesus could suddenly appear and come and be with them, in spite of the fact that the doors are locked. You know, there are skeptics that say they just didn't know, the disciples, of other ways to get into that room, and that Jesus had obviously, unknown to them, had entered a different way. Nonsense. How about when he disappears from their sight? I can't wait till next Sunday, one of my favorite passages, and we have it this year. A little earlier in the day when Jesus appears to two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. But you'll remember when he first became recognized to them in the breaking of the bread as they turned aside at the end of the day, that suddenly he vanishes from their view. What do we learn of Jesus' resurrected body? Well, it could be a spirit or a ghost or just a vision. But he could be touched, and he could eat, and he still bore the scars of the wound. Yes, he could be touched, as we read in our lesson today. They could investigate, and 8 days later, he invites Thomas to actually reach out and to touch the wounds that were in his hands and in his side. Where do I get this business that he could eat? In Luke's gospel, at the same evening, we read there that the disciples still disbelieved for joy and were marveling. And he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. You know, pre-Enlightenment or after the 17th and 18th century, things haven't changed in this much. The expectation still to this day is that maybe the dead's their body rots and their soul goes either to a shadowy place or, going to that place once in a while, it can appear as an apparition, as a ghost, as a spirit. But the gospel accounts are ever so clear that he is not a spirit or an apparition or only the appearance of a body, but one that could be touched and one that could eat and share a meal. And the scars, what to make of that? I'll just leave it to say, as much as I'd like to chase it, that are these like trophies, healed and still a part of a wonderful resurrected body, but always a reminder of the love that's bore for the human race? But I think one thing we need to make clear, that the appearance of Jesus' resurrected body over the course of 40 days and then just before his ascension on the 40th day is not his appearance in all his resplendent glory. That's being withheld. For as John, who was one who witnessed it, put it in his letter, in 1 John chapter 3, he writes, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." It will be when he appears at the end of the age, and we are perfected in what we're already declared in being righteous, that we will be able to see him in all his resplendent glory. So, we learn a little bit about Jesus' resurrected body. How about the continuance of Jesus' mission? We know that Jesus came, according to Luke's gospel, as Jesus put it in his own words, for the Son of Man. That's how he liked to refer to himself most often in the gospel. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, and this mission continues. But now, beyond the grave and the resurrection and the ascension into heaven. And we learn that this seeking and saving the lost is the whole business of the forgiveness of sins. And now this mission of Jesus continues through his followers. And so we read in our lesson, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you, my ambassadors. You are being sent now. And what are they being sent for? Equipped by the Holy Spirit, when he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And here it is. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. This is how Jesus' mission to seek and to save the lost continues. By the proclamation of his word that is being authorized to be spoken by leaders in the church, his apostles, and those who would follow after them, that your sins are forgiven you. Of course, we understand from the rest of the scripture that's conditioned by the way that he authorizes us. So Luther has it right when he talks about this being the office of the keys. And what is the office of the keys? It is that authority which Christ gave to the church to forgive the sins of those who repent, but to declare to those who do not repent that there is no forgiveness of sins. Luke recalls words at this same meal that gets right to the heart of it when Jesus said, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Please know that we are equipped with the power of God's word that authorizes us to speak that word and the power of his Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. This he says after he breathed on them, and then the commission. We are equipped by the power of God's word and the power of the Spirit. I love the New Testament word for spirit, pneuma. That's spelled with a P-N, like you would spell pneumonia. And I'm a terrible speller. But pneuma, and it can be translated wind, breath, or spirit. But here it's the holy pneuma, the Holy Spirit. The context tells us. But the association is meant Jesus had breathed on them at this instance. If any of you know tools, some of the most powerful tools to a mechanic are pneumatic tools. That is, they find their power in compressed air. Just so, by the Holy Spirit, we're empowered to carry on being sent by Jesus as he had been sent by his Father. So we have talked about what we learn about Jesus' resurrected body and the continuance of his mission, but we discover in the rest of it how it is that we come to have life in Jesus' name. And that is, as John concludes our lesson, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. It is by coming to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that we have life in his name. And it's not just believing that, but it's believing in. It's putting our trust that Jesus is in fact the Christ, the Son of God, and that what he has accomplished by dying and rising for us in fact affects the forgiveness of sins that we proclaim. And where there is forgiveness of sins, as I said last Sunday, there is also life and salvation. But be aware of this, and it's powerful in our lesson, that we come to have faith because Christ comes to us. Now I want to return to Thomas, who for whatever reason, and we don't know the reason, was not with the disciples on that first Sunday. And we're told 8 days later, as an inclusive counting, that means we're at the second Sunday. Appropriate for today, the second Sunday of Easter, is it not? This time, Thomas was with his disciples, and Jesus came again. But somebody says, yes, but he came visibly, and Thomas was able to investigate, and indeed he was. Jesus came to Thomas and said to him, put out your fingers and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas, upon investigation, because Jesus had come to him, made the good confession. And I believe he not only believed that, but he started to believe in my Lord and my God, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he died and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins. And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Doesn't that come down to the present day? Isn't that true of almost all Christians except a 500 or maybe a little bit better over 40 days that actually saw him, that most of us have come to faith without seeing? But we haven't come to faith without Christ coming to us, without presenting himself and being present to us. And as we say, and we'll see so powerfully next Sunday, see, I'm going to leave a little bit for next Sunday, he comes to us in his word, and that isn't just something ethereal, that is something that is spoken, and the sound waves hit our eardrums, and his word goes from our ears into our heart. But not only that, as we'll see powerfully next week, he also comes to us in a meal. It'll be so interesting next week when we see that Jesus vanishes as their eyes were able to recognize him in the breaking of the bread, almost as if to say, and I don't think it's just almost as if to say, "I'm with you in a new way until you see me face to face in all my resplendent glory." He comes to us, and it's because he comes to us that he enables us to have faith. I am going to jump ahead this much, that earlier in the day when the two disciples had recounted how he had vanished from their eyes, they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road as he opened to us the scripture?" And then he became known in the breaking of the bread. And what does this congregation ever remember? Because I want to repeat over and over again, Romans 10:17, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." And I hope everybody's repeating that at home. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We have faith because Christ comes to us, even if we are the blessed who have not seen. We have not been without tangible ways that Christ has come to us as well. The gulf between the 21st century and the first is not so wide as people imagine, at least not in every way. Technologically, it is incredibly broad. And scientifically, we can give more and perhaps better explanations for things observed. But the ancients knew that women did not become pregnant without conjugal relations. They knew exhumed corpses did not start breathing and dancing again. And they had just as hard a time believing the gospel then as we do today. But Christ continues to come to us through word and sacrament to open the eyes of our faith so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. It's all I can do at this time to restrain everybody from applauding here gathered. Well, at least they're laughing. We will continue as we move over closer to the accompaniment and sing the hymn of the day, which is in the blue hymn book, and it is hymn 675.
Sides with virtues which are
We continue with a confession of our faith, and we'll do so in the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 84. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father,
of God,
light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Are you willing to take the prayers of the church? I'm sliding a little closer to be close to our assisting minister. And we now do the prayers of the faithful.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, breathe your Holy Spirit upon the church and fill it with your peace. Test and purify the church so that you are constantly praised, honored, and glorified in all it says and does. Use it to bring many to a sure and joyful faith in you, the author of salvation. We ask this especially for the Orthodox Church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Breathe your Holy Spirit upon Christians who are persecuted for naming you as Lord, so that they act and speak in ways that glorify you. Give them the faith of the apostles who rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor on account of your holy name. We especially pray for Didi Ponzo and the recovery of his sight. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless this congregation with the imperishable inheritance that you have won for all who trust in you. Make our faith genuine and our worship joyful. Increase our love for you and for one another. Let our words be gracious and our deeds be generous. In all things, may our lives be filled with your holy love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We plead on behalf of the many people who are quarantined and isolated because of exposure to the COVID-19 coronavirus. For everyone who is already ill, and for those who are at the greatest risk of severe illness or death, hide them under the shadow of your wings and grant them healing and hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your glory is proclaimed in the heavens and throughout the universe. Cause this world, so broken and wounded by sin, suffering and sorrow, to also praise you. Turn every heart, especially of the rulers of the nations, to seek your will. Bestow the spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, so that we might accomplish it. We especially pray for our President Donald Trump and our Governor Tony Evers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give wings to the words of your missionaries and bless and guide the teachings of all within our seminaries, colleges, and schools. Help them to speak and to live the good news of Jesus' resurrection with confidence and charity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We lift before you everyone who has been grieved by various trials to body, mind, heart, or spirit. We especially pray for Berger Ekwav, Cynthia Granger, Carol Halderson, Janet Sissel, Doris Stonke, Marge Wangen, Phil Weber, and those we now name before you.
For Pam Tischer. For Jeff Manning.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O risen Savior, we entrust into your care our beloved dead. Comfort all whose grief runs deep. Fill our hearts with hope, joy, and unshakable confidence in the precious inheritance you have stored up for all who trust in you. Breathe your Holy Spirit on us so that we may forgive one another and live together in your peace. Bring us into your presence where we may gaze upon your glory and goodness, and may forever adore you, our Lord and our God. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, merciful Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
I want to assure everybody listening that we are respecting safe distances here, but hopefully you don't have to worry so much in your homes at this time. Normally, we'd be seated and take an offering. It gives me an opportunity at this point to thank you so much for the incredible generosity of this congregation, and you're doing a good job of sending offerings in. And it's helpful, I think, and more protective to do so with our post office box, which is post office box 422 on Alaska, Wisconsin 54650. And thank you so much for your faithfulness at this time. We've had a couple of counters on a regular basis. We've been making counting and deposits on Friday each week. And again, I thank you profoundly. And always the offering isn't just the way to fund our intended ministry, but it's also a presentation of how we love our Lord with all our being and with all our resources, and recognizes that he is the gift and giver of all life. So it's always an act of worship and gratitude and thankfulness. And I thank you for this participation. And so normally we would sing, and I don't know how well you pick it up, but I'll be able to prepare the altar a little bit. Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord. Unite them with the prayers we offer. Grace our table with your presence,
and give us a foretaste of the feast to come.
I'll continue with the prayer. Let us pray. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord. For he is the true Passover Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper.
Amen.
Come Lord Jesus.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'm elevating the elements. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you. Thank you. the body of Christ given for me. The blood of Christ shed for me. I would ask the congregation to please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let everyone who seeks the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy with shouts of thanksgiving. Alleluia, alleluia. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Hymn number 558. Hannah, did you say this comes out of Wartburg?
The composer does.
The composer comes out of, all right. It's a great hymn.
Loud building workers sing to the Lord.
bathrooms and lamps, loud boiling test tubes. Sing to the Lord a new song. Athlete and band, loud cheering people. Sing to the Lord a new song. He has done marvelous things. I too will praise him with a new song. Knowledge and truth, loud sounding wisdom, sing to the Lord a new song. Daughter and son, loud praying members, sing to the Lord a new song. Has done marvelous things. I too will praise him with a new song.
Before the sending, I just want to thank again Ruth and Hannah for helping out. I plan to continue to do this. I can't believe this is all the way through May. We may find a way to meet outdoors in a little larger numbers with distances. But in any case, I plan to continue this, and there's no reason we couldn't meet with at least six. In fact, I think we would still be honoring mandates. Don't like that word when it comes to church. But I want to honor elected officials. I'll group to 10, so call me if you want to be a part of a Saturday group. And please know, I'll do anything I can to get communion, but the way communion is given, distributed by a minister of the gospel. And please come in and do that. So call me. We'll plan to continue to do this, and we'll find ways. We're not going to be bound. Because Christ is risen, alleluia.
Christ is risen indeed, alleluia.
So go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.